This year doesn't need more noise. It needs clarity. Everybody wants to win, but most people never slow down long enough to understand the rules of the game they're playing. So instead of hype, instead of motivation that fades, we're breaking this down to 7 rules. Not theories, not trends. Rules that actually matter. These are the principles that separate people who stay busy from people who make real progress. And it starts with rule number 1, get out of delusion.
I do want to say this, put your seatbelts on for this one. Because we're taking you into the world of reality. And when you get, we're getting you out of delusion. And why is reality so important? You're never frustrated in reality. You're only frustrated in delusion. You're never pissed in reality. You're only pissed in delusion. Like, real, you're never depressed in reality. You're depressed in delusion, right? Why? Because when you're in reality, you have clarity.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you need to be doing when you need to be doing it. And you know where you are and where you're not. And you know what adjustments you need to make. Watch this. Here's what I need you to do for me. For those of you who are having these challenges and you're on the other side, I need you to expose yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I'm telling you, because most of you will never be successful because you only want people to see the side of them that you want them to see. And the side you show is not the side that you need assistance with. That's never the side.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's never the side. The side you show up front is never the side. So if I would have showed Jamal my speaking, my insurance portfolio, I would have never got a chance to do real estate because I'm showing Maul what I'm good at. And what I'm showing Maul, when I'm showing him what I'm good at, is that I don't need your help. I'm trying to prove to you that I'm on top.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm trying to prove to you, right? Talk to me, y'all. Give me, each one of you, don't mind. Just give me, you ain't got to tell me where it came from, but how do you stay in reality so the people that are listening can go, oh, there go Maul's 1, 2, 3 step. That's how I can stay in reality. Is it your why? Is it your,
No, I'm going to say, I'm going to start us another business, but CJ got to do all the work with this one.
Yeah.
And I'll say the simple answer is phone a friend. Like, there's a commentary. I don't even know if you remember, this is way back when we were doing Make Real Estate Real, when we're starting that. And I was frustrated. That was the point in time I was like, yo, it's too much. I can't do anything more. She was like, yo, we got to do the thing with Maul. I'm like, see, you were delusional, bro. I can't do it. And that was my point of venting to C. I'm like, bro, you don't understand. I'm doing this. I'm checking emails, all that. And C was like, that's your fault. Again, phone a friend. He said to me, let me just be real with you. Everything that you want, you are not going to get it because you are earning. This is the exact line you said. You're making exactly what you deserve right now. Bruh, that thing. Like, and again, I know who I'm talking to, so it's not no anger at C. It's like I had to embrace what he said. It's like, so that was the reality for me. Like, yo, you checking emails. As much as it was an important part of building the business, you're checking emails.
No,
how
CEO
much you think you're going to get paid for checking emails? You on Shopify and every customer thing. Like, what do you think is going to come from that? And that was a reality check for me. So I'm saying to somebody, you need that person that you can literally have a conversation with. And the person is, if you in that delusional state, they're not in your circle right now. Let me say it like that. You got to find somebody in a different circle to talk to, because that one conversation was like, Carl, you just got to adjust what you're doing. It's not even a, like, you're doing nothing wrong. You don't, but you got to have somebody that you can talk to that can just call out.
So talk to people who are in reality.
Yeah.
And don't be having conversations with people who are delusional.
And don't bring it back to C again. Don't bring it with the drama. Like, yo, this is what's going on. Like, because, again, I could say, like, see, I'm checking all these emails. And, again, I probably had that spirit. And he was like, no, we don't do that. Like, change that. So you come with, hey, I'm not exactly happy where I am. Let's just be honest with that. I'm not thrilled where I am. I want to get somewhere else. Like, what do you see? What differences can, what adjustments can I make? Yep.
Talk to me, C. Give me one or two things you feel that the person right now that's listening to our podcast, but the marriage ain't there, the money ain't there, they delusional, they don't want to snap out of it. What do they need to do to get in reality? Because I tell you this, once that GPS tell you where to go, that's real.
Right.
You got a way better chance of putting in that address and watching that joker tell you where to go. It's going to give you three routes. Then you just getting in the whip, driving around, and you don't know what's going on.
Joy
that's
ride.
Delusional. Yeah. Yeah. Joyride. Yeah. In life.
I would just say, man, stop choosing what feels good in exchange for what's actually good. Okay, so we talked about this the other day. Look at all of the things that they didn't want us to do. It's like, there's a reason they didn't want slaves to read. So it's a reason now they like, now you need a new ID. Like, everything, like, they're trying to, like, so you have to swim upstream. Does that make sense? Like, what they're trying to do is wash everything down.
Yep.
So they want you watching Netflix all day. They want you spending all your money on stupid stuff. Mm. They want you not investing. They want you to not read. So what the world wants to set you up to do everything that feels good. So again, when you look at life, it's really about swimming upstream. Because here's the thing. The more you swim upstream, the stronger you get.
Yeah. Come on.
And man, look, I got this. It's crazy.
Y'all, careful now.
What I got on right now. What it say? What it say right there?
Exposure.
Huh.
Bro,
exposure.
That's what it's, bro. Exposure,
and stop thinking about the money.
And stop, bro. Exposure is so much deeper than money.
Yeah.
Once you have a vision, right, you have to get exposure. Your vision might be based off of delusion.
Yeah.
Your vision might not even be real.
Yeah. Mm. Ouch.
Think about that, dog. Now, the Bible told you to write the vision and make it plain.
Yeah. Mm.
But you done lied in your vision.
Yeah, and so it ain't playing.
And so it ain't playing. It's
no clarity in that boy.
Your vision is fugazi.
Wow. Yeah.
It looked like it's cubic zirconia.
Mm. Mm.
It looked like a diamond.
Yeah.
And so you over here just, oh man, I got my, but it ain't even real, bro. It just looks like a real vision, but it's not real.
For a minute.
Because you know it's skewed. You know it's delusional, right? It's delusional based. And the way that you find out if your vision is really solid is you have to get exposed.
Yeah.
To that vision,
exposure.
You got to get exposed to it. And once you get exposed, then exposure, dog, what's exposure do, E? It gives you the evidence.
Yeah, that's it, bro.
That your vision is real.
Yeah.
It gives you the evidence that it can work.
Yeah.
It gives you the evidence that somebody else has done
it. See you next week.
Seeing reality is only the beginning, because once delusion is gone, you're left with a choice. Not what you believe, what you choose. Most people don't lose because they don't know better. They lose because they keep choosing comfort. Rule number two, choose what's good, not what feels good.
I believe, like in my heart of hearts, that the God who made this universe, look out here, you can't tell me God ain't real. I believe if he wanted to, he could have made broccoli taste like Krispy Kreme donuts.
Mm.
No, I just believe that.
Oh, and what a God would that would be.
No. I'm just saying, he's like, I'm just saying, my man made the whole world
in
7 days, 6 days.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if he could do that, I just believe that he could have made
broccoli
just, I'm talking about smack, like this is the, and made Krispy Kreme taste like broccoli. You get where I'm going?
I got exactly where you're going.
Okay, cool.
With the hot sign on.
With the hot light. I believe he could have done that.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
So here's the problem. Most people, you don't want to eat broccoli.
Yeah.
You want to eat chips, you want to eat chicken, fried chicken, you want to eat pizza. Like, so again, here's the problem. And I do too, by the way. But I realize the habits of the greats are broccoli.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, let me try to, I don't want this to be like abstract. So y'all like, yo, see where you going with this. When I look at my life, I wake up and go, oh, okay, broccoli allows me to live the way I want to live.
Yeah.
So if we look at it from a workout perspective, I don't wake up like Mar love it. Two trainers, love the gym. Ah, he eat the weights. He in the mirror putting oil on himself, bouncing his pecs like Terry Crews. I don't wake up with
Mar, are you doing all of that?
Yes, he is. Trust me, I've seen it. I don't wake up with that energy.
Yeah, right, right.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's not me. I don't wake up and go, all right, cool. My wife tell me, we got this money that we putting to the side. She told me we putting the money in our investment account. She said, yeah, we can't touch it till we 65.
Wow.
I said, what?
Wow.
So we put money in this every month.
Yeah.
And we can't touch it till we 65. What happened at 65? Well, at 65, you might not feel like working no more.
Yeah.
And then we'll be done and we'll be able to travel and live the life. Broccoli.
Wow.
Let me say, potato chips is wearing it on your wrist right now.
Yeah.
Potato chips is driving it around.
Yeah.
Taking every trip you want to take right now.
Yeah.
What I realized, though, because, again, regular dude, and I want to spend my money, too. I want to, again, I want to do, you know, all the things that people do. That's why I'm telling you, I'm regular. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, oh, I never want to drive, no, you know what I'm saying? I never want to take that. And, again, we live nice, but I'm just saying, we still live below our means.
Absolutely.
Broccoli is living below your means.
Yeah.
What I realized is, okay, all the successful people, if you listen to Warren Buffett, he say, put your money in the market. Go listen to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett get the most broccoli advice you ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
Nothing against any of the day traders. They making $1 billion overnight.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett was like, look, put your money in there. It's going to grow at an X percentage.
Yeah.
And then don't look at it and don't worry about it until you turn 65.
Yeah.
We can't, but that's broccoli.
Yeah.
Maul say you got to wake up every day, decide your workouts, get your trainer, do this, do like broccoli.
Yeah.
And so even in our businesses, I told my speakers, the reason I'm taking it back, the reason I told my speakers you're not blowing up is because you're out of shape because you don't eat broccoli. What does that mean? You only want to speak
when
on stage.
When it's time to speak, yeah.
When it's time to speak,
yeah,
you like.
You don't speak when it's time to speak. Yeah.
You ready to do the ET,
yeah.
You pumped up, you got your speech, you ready to go.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's like the Krispy Kreme. That's when you get to like just gorge out and have fun.
Right.
And it's great,
right.
And it's all of these other things. Unfortunately, 99% of E's career is broccoli. And what you don't see is him sitting in the PhD classes. When you can't, imagine this. The man said he hates school. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But yet he still went and got a PhD, the highest level of education you could possibly get, he hated it.
Yeah. There's got to be a word worse than that.
No, I feel about it. My point exactly.
Yeah.
He's well aware of the fact that Krispy Kreme tastes better than broccoli.
Yeah.
He's well aware of the fact that sitting at home and just talking and speaking is better than sitting in somebody's PhD class. Yet he's willing to do it because of the outcome that it produces later on. Eating broccoli necessarily right this second ain't gonna have me looking ripped today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for the bag of Doritos because that's gonna make me feel good in the moment and delay
Doritos.
So now we live like most people won't live because we make decisions that most people don't make.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to make decisions that don't actually feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
For your health, for your marriage, for your finances.
Mm.
I promise you, it would be, it's much sexier for me to be riding around right now in a Bentley than to be like, my investment account is going to be balled out when I turn 65.
Absolutely.
I'm just being real.
Yeah.
Like, it is much cooler.
Yeah.
My friends can see it. The neighbors will pull up and be like, oh, can I drive it?
Yeah, that's big.
But I'm willing to delay that
because
I understand if I develop the habits of the people
that's
who have achieved a certain level of success in that area.
It's a guarantee.
Then I low-key look like a superhuman even when I'm the most regular dude in the world because I've adopted the habit.
I want to talk to the group that's frustrated as you're listening to CJ. You frustrated. Because you're saying, I'm reading the books. You know, I'm kind of doing the conference. Like, I'm not in the front row, I'm in the back. But I'm kind of, and I want to say this to you. The reason why it's not happening for you because it's too much variation. It's just way too much variation. So you're listening to Warren Buffett and you kind of doing what he say do. You feel me? You kind of do.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but you ain't really... You watching whoever your workout dude is, the dude is telling you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're kind of doing what he's telling you to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a group of you that was keeping you from, and can I suggest this? Pick your poison. I'm just being real. Like, if you're not going to eat right, okay, I ain't mad at you. But pick your poison. If it's finance, I need you to go all in on finances so that you can blow up and make enough money where you can hire three trainers like Ma. You know what I'm saying? Or I need you to go hard and working out and you so healthy that other people who buffed out are trying to help you start a business. Like, I don't know, but I'm trying to tell you, you can't be doing a little dabbing here, dabbing there, dabbing there. The stuff that CJ's talking about is pick one of them and go all in on it. Like, just go like, nope, I'm not going to eat this. Nope, I'm going intermittent fast. Yep, I'm going to work out every day when I don't feel like it. Or I'm going to go get a four-year degree, then a master's degree, then a PhD, and I'm not going to stop until I get, like, I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, there are those of you who are frustrated because you have a portfolio, but then the year after the portfolio, you go back and start taking money out the portfolio.
Yeah.
So you did it. You did exactly what you was told. You started, but they told you don't touch it till you 60, and you touched it at 43.
Yeah.
Right? Or, or they told you to work out, and you killing the workout Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But on the weekend, you splurging.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like you didn't do nothing in the first place.
Yeah.
So what I don't want to teach you nothing today. What I want to say is, like, go all in something.
Choosing what's good is powerful, but choosing it once doesn't change your life. The difference is repetition. The ability to do the right thing, even when it's boring, even when it feels unproductive. Rule number three, boredom builds champions.
How do people in our daily lives work on the work, if you will? Like, getting, what is getting ready to work look like? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I got my habits and I got my things that I do, but I think most people, like, the only time you try to do it is when you're in it.
I do think so much of this has to do with people wanting the end result and underappreciating the process. You know, like, even myself, I have to constantly remind myself to not get bored with consistency. There's an element of boredom that comes with consistency. You have to do the same thing every day. So it's like, how you want to be consistent, but you don't want to do the same things over and over again? You know, I think I saw, you know, Myron, when he had something on his computer, said greatness is a process. And it's like, that really is the slogan. I think the conversation needs to be centered around that. What is it about your habits, your mindset, your definition of success that makes you underappreciate the process because you want the result or you want the end game, the end picture? You know what I'm saying? It's like that's not the thing that makes it. And so maybe some of it comes from comparison, or we're able to look at our screens and be in touch with so many people around the world and see what they have. So we think we just want to mirror that because then I can show it off. I can brand it. I can market. But there's a lot that is missed by us just not wanting to ever appreciate the process.
So if for somebody who says that, you know, it is, it does get boring or it's not, do you have a hack or anything that you can give people for consistency and staying consistent over that time?
I tell people, make your goals public. For as many people that say, and I love Doc calls people on this out all the time, I don't care what people think. You care what people think. People care what people think about them, right? I mean, there's maybe very few people in the world who don't care what people think about them. And so that public accountability to make your goals public, now you have to show up, man. Like, you got to be honest to your word. So I think that works.
I mean, but I think that all my success comes from muscle memory. So muscle memory is physical shape, right? And it's crazy. I didn't know you was going to do that. But the definition of muscle memory is the ability to reproduce a particular movement without conscious thought, acquired as a result of frequent repetition of that movement. So with me, when it comes to real estate, it comes to family, come to anything, I try to recreate those movements, right? So that when it starts to happen for me without me even having to think about it. And so when you're talking about real estate, bro, it's I think early on I created muscle memory, and then now real estate, I do it without even thinking. I do it all day long, every single day. And I think that'd be the issue or the problem with a lot of people is that they don't do things enough. You know, we talk about that 10,000 hours or whatever. And so I think a lot of people really miss out on that, and they don't really appreciate like the when you're working out, when you're doing these things. I work out not for the person I am right now. I'm in great shape right now. You know, I'm in great shape. I'm the weight I want to be. I'm in great shape. This is so that when I'm in my 50s or my 60s, or when I'm going through surgery with both of my hips, my muscle memory still kicked in. I had to go to the gym. Even 3 days out of surgery, I was in my gym working out. And then my wife was even like, you know, my wife was like, my mother actually was like, you know, you got to take it easy. And my wife, I remember her just like, Jamal is going to go to the gym. Like, he's not going. It's muscle memory. I do this every single day. And I do that so that most people feel weird if they go to the gym, right? Oh, I'm sore. Oh, I feel weird if I don't go to the gym. Most people feel weird if they got to go out look at 15, 20 properties in a week. I feel weird if I'm not out there looking at that amount of properties. So I think I've created this thing in my head where I have to do it. I do it unconsciously, yep. Right? I just do it because I've been trained and I train my muscles, whether it's my physical body or my mental muscle, to go out and do those things.
Yeah, no, I was just going where Maul is going, and Moose, you can jump in here too with the assessment, but you're literally moving it from the conscious to the subconscious.
Yeah.
What happens most times is our subconscious got all our habits from childhood and we repeat those subconsciously. Some of them good habits, some of them not good habits. You get those results. But when you're intentional about now, okay, I'm going to do this so much that it becomes subconscious, which means there's no thought involved. It's just what I wake up and go do.
For me, it's always been the people who I see that are successful are fanatics about their philosophical belief. Right? It's their anchor, if you will. Okay. It says an anchor can be anything or anyone that provides stability, security, or grounding in a situation. And so for me, it's my relationship with God, which has nothing to do with speaking, but has everything to do with I need to be grounded. Right. And so it is my prayer life. It is getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It is going to school. Now, I won't say this out loud, but somebody that I have a relationship with said to me the other day, I think I need to go get my master's degree. And I was like, I think you do. Mm. I do. I think you do. Why? Because you need grounding. Mm. You need to have something to get up to. Because right now you're not disciplined on your own just to get up. So you do. You need some teacher to tell you what to do that you wouldn't do on your own. You do. You need to be talking to a group of people that you wouldn't be talking to regularly because they don't live in the house with you. You feel what I'm saying? They don't live in your neighborhood. They don't. So you do. But you don't need to go to school for a degree. You don't need to go to school. I'm going to go to school to be a lawyer. I'm going to school to be a filmmaker. Like, you don't need to go to, you don't need to be in film school to be able to, but some of us need to be in film school to be stable, to have some security, to be grounded. Watch this one. This is the psychology version. An anchor can be a reference point used to make judgments. You feel me? So now Chick-fil-A is not making judgments on money. I tell people this all the time, bruh. What we got, bruh. Okay, so anybody, and C said this all the time, the only people who think money is something is the people that don't have it. That's the only people who think money's something. You don't have it. So you thinking it's something.
It's gonna I'm like, bruh,
can I tell you something? Of the 20 things you need in life, the money is going to give you the least return on your investment, bro. Once you get it, you will quickly realize, okay, yeah, it can get me a house. It can't get me a home.
There's a direct correlation between you being out of shape in your regular life, physically, and your success.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your physical shape then goes to your mental health, and your mental health is what dictates your cognitive function.
Yes, sir.
And what's going to allow you to be. And so I want people to start not only acknowledging their mental health, which is great, but acknowledging how that physical health plays into that, right? Some people go to work more. You would say 9 to 5, they go to work, they do their job, and then you just come home, you sit down.
Yeah.
You're not reading nothing extra, you're not learning nothing extra, and you wonder why you don't feel fulfilled. You know what I mean? And so that's what I meant by, you know, us getting in shape in all areas. So when you look at your marriage ain't out of shape because you didn't do anything. It's out of shape because you neglected it for a while. You know what I'm saying? It's out of shape because you haven't put that energy and effort into it.
Your problem is not the marriage.
It's not.
It's all the things from being out of shape.
That's what I'm trying to say. And even being out of physical shape. When you out of physical shape, the GMG, the interlocking ain't the same. I'm just being real.
Yeah.
When you locked in and you feeling physically, you know, it changed things.
Discipline isn't the finish line, it's the foundation. Because consistency only matters if it turns into value. And value is what keeps you in the game. Rule number four, become unreplaceable.
I tell people this all the time, like, yo, I wish the check that you get, I wish that check was guaranteed.
Yeah.
But whether you see the process or not, there's something that's happening to get that check. And if it's not happening, you're going to not get it. So that's the part I'm focused on. I'll never be focused on the money. I'm always focused on, yo, what is the printing process? Like, how does this get printed? And then how does it get to my... And one of the things that I know is that you can't get what he said, work who you want to work with and do what you want to do. You can't get to that if you don't understand that you have to diversify.
Yeah.
Like anytime you got to get one check from one person, that might be too much power for that one person. Mm. Like, I just ain't seen a lot of bosses or people. When we was at Michigan State, I ain't really see them knowing that we was getting that check and that was the only check really out getting, or they thought. They treat you a certain way. I'm just trying to tell you, when you Tom Brady, it's like, oh, you can win. Oh, you can win championship. So, oh, then you go to Tampa and you win one.
Still win.
It's like, oh, okay, we're gonna treat you differently because it looks like you can win with or without us. And I learned that quick. I learned when you relying on one source. Now you might be in a good situation where you got somebody that's gonna take care of you, not gonna take advantage. But even with that person, if you just keep coming to work and you just getting the check and you not helping with the process, you're going to burn. I said it. Where's the camera at? Where's that camera?
Look right
that,
here.
Is that camera right there?
Look right here.
Listen to me very closely. I'm going to say this to you, and I do not, please don't take this the wrong way. When they start liquidating, the first person that gets liquidated is the most neediest person. Listen to me very closely. If you're in your marriage and you needy, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. People don't need needy people. I just want you to understand that. Don't nobody need somebody that's needy. If you are around, it's because they care for you and they love you. But they don't need you. So when you start liquidating, the first thing that goes is the thing that's not needed. So I'm just trying to tell you, do yourself a favor. Don't follow the check. Follow the machine that's making the check. And make sure that you're not needy.
Wow.
Give me a word, see. I don't know the word to use, but it's almost like when a snake bites you and it may not hurt, but the venom is inside of you and it's slowly but surely killing you, that every time you get that participation check, you don't realize it, but it's slowly but surely killing you.
Lulling you to sleep.
That's the word I'm looking for.
What is it?
You just love.
Yeah,
that check coming.
Baby.
Listen, you hear people who hate their job, right? You like, man, I hate that job. And it's crazy. As much as we was ready to leave Michigan State and all of that, he never, like, hated being no advisor. No. And Maul never hated being a police officer. You know why? You know, and I used to be like, Maul, I wonder, like, Maul used to be like, oh, yeah, I'm about to go to work. And I used to be like, man, you police, that's something. Like, but Maul was never relying on them. He was using them, not letting them use him.
Exactly.
So when you have a different relationship, like, that's where the 9-to-5 millionaire came from. Maul was like, I used them as an investor for my dream. You using your 9-to-5 as the dream, the investor, source. And the whole everything.
Yeah, whole source.
Right. And that's scary. Because then you give them permission to feed you, you give them permission to starve you.
Yeah.
I want to make sure y'all not beating up on my 9-to-5ers, and I want to be able to help them out. Because that's me, right? We gonna work for the company, right? And by you having your 9-to-5, they're not saying quit your 9-to-5.
Not at all.
You keep your 9-to-5 and still diversify.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the cheat code. All I did is nothing, bro. All I did was follow. I once read that the average millionaire has at least 7 streams of income. Diversified, right? Boom. Earned income is one of those streams. So that's your 9-to-5. That's your job. Earned income. Roll with that. That's your first investor. Bro, you got rental income. So as a police officer, okay, cool, earned income. All right, I'm just going to take some of this money and invest it in the rental income. I'm going to be investing in real estate. Then I'm going to be able to diversify and get another check coming from tenants. Dividend income. What's that? Dividend income. I'm a police officer. How could I get dividend income? I gotta go work for a company? Nah. All you got to do is just take some of this money and invest it in the stock market now. Divested in a Roth IRA. Divested it, invested into a mutual fund so you can get dividend income. All right, cool. That's 3. Interest income. All right, I got my money in the bank, right?
4% interest on my money in a savings account, mm-hmm. high yield savings account. So now I'm getting interest income. I'm in four streams right there. And then I have, all right, what else can I do to diversify? Business income. Mm. All right, cool. What business income? All right, yep, start a business. All right, cool, Camille. Let's start a daycare center since we got babies now. And then let's get some money coming from that. I'm in five streams of income already. And then the sixth, we're going to go with profit income. What is profit income? It's when you buy something at a low point, you add some sweat equity to it, and then you sell it at a profit. What could I do? I could start flipping properties. I could buy properties that's boarded up in the community where I'm working as my earned income as a mm-hmm. police officer, and I could flip properties and make a profit from there. And then the seventh one is royalty income. Mm-hmm. Royalty income, you're on YouTube every day. Create something where people will pay you for your intellectual property. That's all you got to do is follow the seven streams of income to diversify while you're still working your 9 to 5.
Becoming unreplaceable keeps you in the game, but staying in the game isn't the same as winning it. Defense keeps you alive. Offense changes the score. Rule number 5, stop playing defense and learn how to play offense.
People will pay for college, but people won't pay you to get your knowledge.
Any rhyme.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So it's a mindset, Ma. You're going to pay $100 for a school that ain't going to give you nothing. You probably ain't going to make six figures in a year. You feel what I'm saying? Versus I'm coming to somebody who's already established and I'm telling you, you got to pay me.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. What am I paying you for? Mm-hmm. Like, not that I don't want to pay you, mm-hmm. but what am I paying you for? Like, people come to me all the time. E, you got work? Yeah, I got work, but you don't mean it like that. Yeah. You mean, do I have a check for mm-hmm. you? Like, you mean, can I pay your mortgage? Can I pay your yeah. car note? That's what you mean. You don't mean you have a mindset that, hey, whatever department that I'm in for you, I'm going to blow it out the framework. And what I'm going to bring to you, if I wasn't here, you couldn't even do this in the first place, right? So for the first part of that question, see, it's a mindset for me. And that mindset is don't come looking to receive because you're going to limit the amount of money you can make. Because you can be around a Jamal, you can be around, you know, individuals who are giants and never get anything. Because your mindset, whether it's pride, whether it's ego, I don't know what it is, but your mindset does not allow you to go, yo, this mindset ain't helping.
Yeah.
Like, this mindset yeah. ain't elevating. Yeah. Like, this mindset ain't taking me to yeah. where I want to go.
Oh, it's wild, bro. And I said it, you know, on the pod where, you know, Didi and Candace was on. But, like, the one thing I, like, listen, I am a average intelligence guy. But if I see something that's working and it's duplicatable and repeatable.
Yeah.
Oh, remember I listen, when we found out Maul's whole story. Okay. Right. I used to tell Maul, I don't know nothing about real estate. You saying wholesale, ARV. I don't know none of that. Not knowing is not an excuse for never finding out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I went as soon as he taught it to us. All of us had real estate within how long before? Less than a year.
I was going to say,
less than a year.
Okay, less than a year. My superpower has been learning from other superheroes and in implementing their superpower. So, again, from E, bruh, I've seen the consistency since day one. I was like, oh, wow, he get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, he talk to God. It don't mean I have to have his exact system, but it means his one of E's superhero qualities is his consistency. There's business principles that I learned from Josh. I'm not no people be like, oh, see, since you the business guy, I'm like, you are sadly fooled. That's not me, but you might mistake me for that because Josh taught me a whole bunch of business principles and I applied them. More real estate. Carl, you done taught us so much about just media and how to lock in with our brands and the entire Deeper Than the Brand studio. And so when you come in with a different mindset of like, how can I make money? Yeah. What can I get? What can I now that. It's like you can't even see the formula in that situation.
I'm saying so. I just want to say, for those of you who are listening, you're not where you want to be. So because the people who where they want to be, they're going to continue to get more information. It's like the rich get richer. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I used to always like, God, that don't even make sense. But I get it now. It's like once I learned from Maul, then Maul opens up these doors for them. But I do want to say the first step I personally believe you need to do is I think you need to divorce yourself from yourself, right?
Get a divorce.
You need to divorce yourself from yourself. And I think what happens a lot of times, you're so married to your mindset that you don't even care if it's working or not. Like, you don't care. It's like, and again, I just want to take my time on this one, Maul, because I see it happen all the time, right? And here's what I just try to tell people. It's like, bruh, just be aware enough where you could be honest with yourself. You don't even have to change. You don't have to change. So I'm trying to show y'all, one, you have to be aware of the way E.T. used to do it didn't work. When I was homeless and a high school dropout, those are not strategies and tips I want to keep using. Those strategies and tips didn't get me. Case in point, my family, the Cannoneers, Trinidad, Tobago, they had a dog, a Rottweiler they had bought. They specifically told me what to do and what not to do. Maul, I was living with them, but I was so concerned about me and my survival, I left the dog out. Somebody stole the dog and made them pay like $500 to get the dog back. What do you think that did with our relationship? Yeah. To this day, they talk about that. And they're like, the Lord bless you, whatever. But you remember when you was trifling? And so I realized, Maul, like, yo, E, when the E used to just be worried about eating their food, living under their roof, you know what I'm saying? Them getting me ready for Oakwood. That stuff that they told me to do, I didn't do. The new E goes, hey, if you look after people and take care of people on their way up, when they ain't got nothing, on their way up, as they go up, you're going to go up with those individuals. So when you start with money, what you end up doing is you block yourself from the bigger blessing. But when you go in and go, okay, this ain't about the money. This is about making sure that whatever they need me to do, I get it accomplished. And not only get it accomplished, Maul, TJ been preaching, and it's like with the intended end result. Not you finish, because you could be like, you finished. But it's like TJ was like, okay, but when you finish, was it the product that you wanted when you finished? So I'm going to leave with this one. So the first one is be aware. I was aware that some of the strategies that I was using wasn't working. I was aware, number two, that the only reason I kept doing what wasn't working and I was dogging everybody else about what they was doing is because I was married to mine. So I ain't married to your stuff, so I can call your stuff out. But I couldn't call my stuff out because I was married to it. Once I got to a point where I realized, E, don't marry nothing that is not blessing you. You need to let it go. I don't care if you're doing it or somebody else doing it. The third one was, okay, let me get around people and around things that's going to give me new principles that's going to work. Right? So I'm with Maul, right? I'm with CJ. I'm with Carl. And I'm peeping out. Okay, do this, do this, do this. The last one is make sure that if anybody give you a check, try your hardest to make sure that they didn't pay you enough for what you did. Because then they got to bring you back. So make sure whatever you did for them, you just didn't do what they asked you to do. You went above and beyond, and now you've created the type of need for yourself that they know they can't fill with nobody else.
It's talking about like nine to fivers out there. You got to transition from that defensive mentality to playing offense.
You got
to
score at some point.
You got to score
at some point.
But the thing about it is that when you're looking for a check, you're looking for a check to pay the bills because you're in debt.
You cut off that creativity.
You're playing defense. You're never going to progress in life.
Never.
So you got to say, you got to transition. How do I move from a defensive mentality to an offensive mentality?
But to your point, Maul, here go the thing. Most people don't think about playing offense until you get the layoff.
Crazy. Now they forced to play offense.
Now you scrambling and you're doing it out of desperation.
Which takes you right back to what you say. Now you're doing it for money, which sets you all the way back again.
Man. I can remember hitting my mom and being like, yo, I need $500. And I have
$500.
Dollars. Okay. Yeah. I'm the only one in the family. I done graduated. I got a master's degree. My wife is working. I'm living in Houston, calling my mom like, hey, I need to borrow $500 right quick and I'll give it back. Do you understand? But here's the thing. Even in that, I knew I'm on offense. So offense isn't necessarily about making money. It's the mentality of, okay,
You got a scheme. You got 100 plays. Everybody on the squad know what to play. That's what it is. It's a scheme. It don't mean every time we run this play,
you ain't going to score a touchdown every single time.
Up to this point, we've talked about discipline, consistency, and value. But none of that matters if responsibility is missing, because showing up is not the same as owning it.
Loyalty sounds good, but responsibility is what actually keeps you in position. Rule number 6, responsibility beats loyalty.
Somebody asked a question about, like, how do you attract, you know, top tier people in your life or whatever? And I was like, you know what, God, this is good. Let me just like do one sentence so I can help people on this whole like attraction thing. You know, people call law attraction, whatever you want to call it. But here's my deal, right? When you no longer are an asset, then you cooked. You feel me? Like, I just wanted to simplify it. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like that he was trying to make it deep. I was like, bro, don't make it deep. If you're in a marriage and you're no longer an asset in that marriage, you cooked. Period.
Yeah,
if, if you are in a company, you know, you could use the word loyal. I'm loyal to you. I've been there since day one. It don't matter, bro. When you're no longer an asset, you cooked. You done. As a parent, when your children no longer see you as an asset, you cook. You done. You feel me? And so, you know, I kind of want to start here because it's like, and then I'll give you the antithesis of that is when you are in a position where you're not, you're a headache.
Mm-hmm.
You're cooked. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you cook. And I, can I say this? And again, I don't know that this is empirical evidence. Carl, you may have to jump in. I don't know. Y'all tell me. But I have never seen a person get rid of an asset. Like, I don't know that I've seen it. Now, maybe trade an asset off for a better asset, but I've never seen, I've never seen somebody, and again, this is for all y'all who, like, they did me wrong. You know, they didn't, I ain't never met nobody who was like, bro, you are helping me make millions of dollars a year. I'm, and you not a headache. I'm done with you.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you're talking, the thing I'm thinking about is you could have like a quarterback who done had, I'm talking about a championship, I'm talking about a good run. And the next thing you know, they done drafted your replacement. And they like, yo, you got to get up out of
it. It's like, here are the things that you do for me. Here are the things I do for you. But let's not play games. What are the non-negotiables?
Yeah.
We got some non-negotiables. And when we stop as humans showing up with those non-negotiables, it's going to change the dynamics of whatever we're doing. So that's why I tell people all the time, if you have, if you are an asset and you're giving something to the company, bruh, be very careful when you get in your little funk or you get in the mood pulling that back. Because once you pull back, we about to take, we about to replace Bledsoe with, with Brady.
Yeah.
And Bledsoe, you might never be able to get back in the game again. Like, you may never come back.
And the crazy thing about Bledsoe is he was doing well.
Bro, he was killing it.
Right, it wasn't even like he fell off. He got hurt.
Yeah.
And then he came in. He like, okay, I'm back. And it was like, ah, about that.
You feel me? So, for me, Ma, it's just we have to be realistic.
So, I'm saying in the same relationship as a marriage, now you telling me if I'm not pulling my weight.
So, here go the thing, though, bro. I'm just being honest.
I'm just trying to make it practical.
Yeah, yeah.
We could sit up here and say anything, but people who dealing with somebody who, let's just say, one of your workers who he been loyal for 20 years, you got on together, he did all your property, he did everything, and now he had a health condition or something, or anything that just was...
No, that man, don't count. That don't count.
Does it?
No. So, for me, the health thing don't count. And the reason why I'm saying the health thing doesn't count...
Now you know that mental health is a real thing,
too. No. The reason why I'm saying...
Like, man, I just ain't feeling like
myself. The reason why I'm saying the health thing don't count, Maul, is because you did not abandon
the
responsibility.
Yeah, there's another circumstance.
Abandon responsibility.
But at the end of the day, to your point, we just talked about Bledsoe.
Yeah, but I'm saying you didn't.
Bledsoe got hurt.
But he also gave an example in the beginning about DD.
Yeah,
but MS.
Yeah, but watch this though. Bledsoe unfortunately did have to abandon his role. Period.
Yeah, so if somebody gets sick, they're going to have to abandon their role.
Yeah, watch this, though. Unfortunately, he had to abandon it, and it was a time frame, right? Unfortunately. It wasn't a week. It wasn't 2 weeks. Like, he had to be gone for some time. Your man came in, right? It's just the way that business works, right? So here go the deal. For me, you can't say you're loyal. If you remember the term I told Carl this term today. I said, oh, if you want to go from making $50,000 to $60,000 to making a bunch of money in a company, it has nothing to do with your work. It has everything to do with, what was the word I used?
I don't remember. I ain't gonna lie to you.
R word.
A responsibility.
It's responsibility.
I thought you were talking about another R word. I was like, whoa.
No, does that make sense?
Right.
So I'm like, It, like, when you get to the big money, it's not about you working.
Yeah.
It's about you taking responsibility and saying, I got this, that. You could be, like, Didi could be sick, but she has not, she hasn't abandoned her responsibility.
Yeah.
And her responsibility is, as a wife in our family, this is the role.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying? And so it's like, as long as you don't abandon that role of being.
Okay, and what if she does?
So if she abandons the role, then we got to let it go. Because you abandon the role.
Then
so
let it go, then you bring somebody else in to fill in.
Ambulance step by step.
Close the door.
No, close the door.
I'm on phone.
Yeah. But I'm saying, Mark, in some marriages.
I'm talking about a cook.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No question.
No question. No question, Mark. Yeah. And but here go the deal, Mark.
Go to your room.
Yeah, go to your room. Go to your room. But I'm saying, to your point, Mark, that is not, and that's what I told Carl. You don't have to be the one shooting. You don't have to be the one editing. But you have to be responsible. You understand? That's different. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people are confused. As a wife, you don't get credit because you didn't cheat. You don't get credit because you didn't cuss your man out. You don't get credit because you went to work. No, you get credit for we made an agreement and you said that I wouldn't have to worry about this part. That you got this part on lockdown. And I see a lot of people think loyalty means you just show up. No, it don't mean that. It means that whatever your part is, you play it. You play it at a higher level. And here go my biggest problem. It don't even mean you're going to be perfect. But when you're not responsible, you can't lie and make something else the reason for it. Long as you keep your responsibility, I think that's loyal. And I don't think loyal is you being there and you showing up. And a lot of people think loyalty is showing up and just being
okay, there. Okay, so then to my point, let's talk to the people who are dealing with people who have abandoned their responsibilities. You're doing your responsibilities, right? So the abandonment part, speak to that, where you like, okay, this person just ain't doing, we can say
it's
marriage or whatever.
To. It has to get done.
Okay,
if you're not going to do it, I got to replace you because it has to get
done.
In
marriage too?
Yes. In a marriage too.
So we believe in divorce.
I don't believe in divorce. I believe in taking responsibility. I believe in taking ownership. I don't believe in divorce. Why would you have to get a divorce from somebody who the two of you are on one accord and you having some challenges?
I think the conversation has to be made if a person's not doing what they're doing in their marriage. I don't think you just let it.
I don't know. I'm asking because, again, you try to, you have it all the time. People, man, I went to counseling. I did this. We did that. She don't.
But that's showing up. That's not being responsible. You going to counseling and you going, he ain't do this and he ain't doing that. That's not responsibility. She ain't doing this and shit. That's not responsibility. Ain't nobody taking responsibility. You just showing up to counseling because you checking off the box. Real counseling in a real way is, yo, here's what we feel is going wrong. Here's the part I play. Here's the part she plays. Bro, we see it all the time, Ma.
Responsibility doesn't remove pressure. It just puts you in position. And once you're in position, hard is unavoidable. But hard isn't the problem. Meaning is. Circumstances are neutral. You decide what they produce. Rule number 7, do dark differently.
The first thing that you said was we have a tendency to feel like God made the light and Satan made the dark.
Mm.
And you said God made both of them.
Yeah.
Right, like so. I want you to start there, but then also you're saying we're praying away the things that we should that are necessary for our success, right? Like you in the presence of your enemies. So we hear the scriptures. That's why I'm telling y'all. I promise y'all. That's why I love like my success because I promise you, I'm just stupid and I'm just not that deep. And so when I hear stuff, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me. So I'm going to apply. I told them. Him and my wife, I tell both of them, I'm married to the people who probably know every single scripture in the Bible, looking at them all day, every day. Just give me about 5 or 6 of them joints, and I promise you, I'm going to apply the mess out of them joints. But you said God is going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. But then it's like we sit there and we complain when we in the presence of our enemies, and that's the very place where the table is going to be prepared. And so there's that, and then I want to talk about the Buffalo, but it's a lot in there. But I just felt like, man, as we go into this new year, if you could understand that darkness and those type of things is... What do we say? Don't be so conceited in your sin. Don't be so conceited in your darkness. Mm. You ain't the only one that got to go through stuff like that. It's how you go through it, right? And it's how you go through it that depends how you come out on the other side. So,
yeah, it's perspective, bro. Yeah. Like, I think now, like, the blessing of, like, Moss sitting next to me, I'm like, yo, the blessing of that is he didn't make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would have never met Maul if he'd have made it to the NFL. Wow. I'm grateful he didn't make it to the league. Hmm. Now, I don't know how he feel about it. You know I'm saying? I know he talked about it, but I'm saying I have no, I don't have any hurt about it. Yeah. I only see it as a blessing.
Right.
Like, yo, that if Maul would have made it to the league, I would have never met him.
Yeah.
Because he would have never, Maul probably would be least successful now.
Yeah.
Of everybody in this room, he might be the least successful because he made it to the league. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm being real. Like, I know, you know, he's a genius in real estate and all that. I'm just saying he might not have had the fire.
It wouldn't have been no real estate.
He might not have had the fire, bro. Yeah. He might not have had that. Wow. It was him being in that car, that police car, sitting there pissed and being like, how can I use this time? You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what I mean when I say, as Chris, bruh, Christians have been hoodwinked. Like, when I look at Christianity, you've been hoodwinked. Because what Christianity does is it's most make you focus on culture. So it's like religion. It's like, this religion, Jehovah Witness, their whole swag is, if you ain't outside witnessing, you whack. The Baptist, if you ain't submerged in water at Venice, if you ain't keeping the Sabbath, it's the craziest thing. You focus on a couple things and you out. You don't look at none of the other scriptures. You don't focus on them. It's a cultural thing and you just get caught up. And so to your point, when you could just read the Bible for what it is, you could see, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord. So you got Christians who anxious. Mm-hmm. You got Christians who fearful. You got Christians with cross on the line overthinking. You should never overthink if you're a person of God.
Real quick, that the beginning of that scripture most people miss, E, and I've been harping on it this whole year. The beginning of that scripture says, and we know.
Yeah, we know.
That all things work together. Yeah, we just all of us know that part. But it's like, and we know.
So know.
I be looking at myself in the mirror like, I told Tamisha this weekend, bro, I can't call myself Christian no more. Mm. Like, I'm lying. Bro, how I call myself Christian and still thinking about this and worrying about that? Like, the scripture says, and we know. If you one of us, if you belong to this, we already know that it's good.
We know.
We know. And we know. So I should the thought should never come into my mind that, oh, this might not work out.
Mm.
That should never come into our mind. I don't care what it looks like, Maul. You talk about vision all the time. I don't care what it looks like. That should never. I don't mean to take us a different direction, but that's something that I've been personally on. Like, yo, to your point, bruh, don't do nothing else until you can live this. Every day you get up and a negative thought comes, cool, it comes. My measurement now is how fast can you shut that down? Because it's going to come. We human, right? You see something, you hear something, your brain, you've trained it to think a certain way for so long. But how quickly can you shut that down and replace it with the, and we know, we good. Let's keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And to the second part, let's talk about practicality, right? When you're in the dark, right? And it's crazy because what you said, you know, it's true. The more you wallow about being in the dark, the longer you stay there, right? But so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you see some people just like, it's almost like they got the Charlie Brown cloud that just everywhere they go, it just stay over them. So do you embrace it or look at it different?
But I think Carl said it earlier, how you name it.
Mm.
So some people name it death, destruction,
right.
The rest anxiety, of my life is over anxiety.
Despair. But who says that darkness is really a bad thing?
Well, that's what we said.
Yeah. People have named it that.
Right. Yeah. But even with darkness, remember back in the day, everybody got their cell phones now, but back in the day, you couldn't see the picture unless it was dark.
Dark.
It was called exposure. Yeah. Remember, my uncle used to be, he was a photographer, and he had a dark room.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember he would always tell me to turn off the lights. He would have different buckets of water.
Yeah.
And we would take these pictures, and I would see him put the paper in water.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be like, turn that light off. And then it would be like a black light or a red light. Mm. And then it would bring the exposure of those photos out. Yeah. So sometimes the darkness allows you to really see your life for what it is. It allows you to really see what's going on in your life.
A new year doesn't change your life. Decisions do. What shows up this year won't define you. How you respond will. So stop waiting on the perfect conditions. Lead yourself anyway. Happy New Year.
I want you to focus on here right now. Don't you worry about when you get home. You make this, you concentrate on this opportunity. You don't worry about tomorrow. You concentrate on this opportunity with all your might, with all your soul, with all your heart.
Thank you so much for rocking with us as always, right? We don't take it lightly, guys. And we hope that we've provided transformation and not just information. We want you to become the best version of yourself, right? Make sure you check out the show notes to access all the important links and get your product discounts. Now, one favor we're asking of you, do us this favor. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We want to know your feedback and how we can serve you better. And if there's anyone that you think could benefit from listening to the show, please, I'm begging you, please share it with them. And remember, as E always says, if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.